Okay. Chapter 6. Daniel. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. So we see a king setting up his government. He's dividing out, delegating the work between these different people so that the work can get done and he doesn't have to worry about everything. There's not a thing in the world wrong with that. He gets everything divided up. But the interesting part is one of the people he sets up to do the decision making. Verse 2 says, "And over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage." So he sets up 120 people he called princes. They dealt with the people. They dealt with various things going on. And above them were three presidents. And they would then kind of assimilate the information that came in, and the things that were worthy to go to the king would go to the king by them. But the interesting things is it says Daniel was first. Now, how did Daniel come about being in this place? Was Daniel here because he wanted to be here? Daniel was not here of his own accord. Daniel had been forced to be here. Daniel was a Jew in a strange land. Daniel was a man living the life that the Lord had wanted him to live, and he was being respected for it. Now, how well do you suppose it went over with these people that a Jew was their leader? And not very good. Verse 3 says, "Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm." Not just one of the top three, but the top. To be the leader, to be the number one go-between between the king and these other leaders. And once again, the thought of a Jew being in charge was not one that they relished. I don't know if there were other Jews involved in this, if it was just him. I don't know how the breakdown went as far as the ethnicity of who was from where, but we know that this didn't go well or didn't set well with anyone. But why was Daniel preferred? Do you suppose Daniel was honest? That Daniel lived a life that the king could see goodness in him? A trustworthy person? Well, I tell you, the things that Daniel exemplified work great in the business world too. You work for someone, they kind of like someone like Daniel. Someone you can depend on, someone that don't decide to miss every time they can come up with an excuse, or take off early every time they can come up with something. Daniel was a hard worker. Verse 4, now I said, you know they're not going to like this. "Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault. Forasmuch as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him." Now, does this mean that he was perfect? Was Daniel a perfect man? No. But Daniel did his best to do what the Lord wanted him to do. And as a result of that, he was given a good position. He was able to flourish in a land he didn't want to be in. You ever been in a situation you don't want to be in? Sometimes you can get in a situation you don't want to be in, but, you know, we pray to the Lord and we ask the Lord to help us with something. We usually have the avenue we want him to work out for us. You know, I guarantee you, I always have it in my mind what I'd like for him to do. But he's usually got a better way of doing it. And sometimes he has another plan that I never would even have thought about, or another reason that he wants things to stay that way. But we see here the jealousy in these people in dealing with Daniel. They want to find something to get him in trouble. And as hard as they've worked, they can't find anything. Now, that tells us a lot about Daniel. He was quite a person. Especially if you read chapter 1 of the things he didn't do, and he found a way to make it work to where nobody was upset with him. He was very wise in his counsel. Verse 5 says, "Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God." Now he didn't all only live well, live like he should, do the things he should, and avoid the things he shouldn't. He also made it very plain that he had a God. Amen. And that he worshiped his God, and that his God was great. So that was what they decided on. We can find a way to use his worship of his God to get him. Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto the king, King Darius, live forever. Long live the king. We see that in all kinds of movies. They came to him wanting to lift him up high. Kings liked, well, you know, it's not just kings. Everybody likes to have nice things said to them from time to time. And they were really laying it on for him to let him know that he was a great king. So they've got him kind of puffed up here in his pride, things going good. He would never, especially when we see what comes along, he would never have intentionally done anything to Daniel. He liked Daniel. He thought a lot of Daniel. But they had a little trick for him. Now, we just studied this not long ago with another king. You remember the lesson we had where a king was tricked into saying that all the Jews can be killed? That didn't work out too good for the people that did that. I'm not so sure it's going to work out so good for these in the long run either. They assembled and said this unto the king, King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains, have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Well, king, you are so great. You have so much forethought. You have so much about you that no one should go to another entity to get help. You've set up your government so well that you can take care of everyone. So let's set up a rule, a law that says that if someone brings a petition to anyone other than to you, that they be thrown into a den of lions. Well, you know, he's feeling pretty good. These are my leading citizens, and they say this, so I think it sounds good to me too. Now, you think about it, there's some power in these numbers. You know, there's a lot of people telling him this, and he never in a million years thought about possibility of it bringing harm to Daniel. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. And we learned this in the lesson a few weeks ago when a king made an edict, couldn't be changed. Had to be lived with. Now, there could be things done that possibly somewhere down the road could create some relief. But when it said you got thrown into the lion's den, you got thrown into the lion's den. So it says, wherefore, King Darius, sign the writing and the decree. Well, so Daniel knows this. Daniel knows what's happened. It says, in 10, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house and his windows, being open in his chamber towards Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. He did not allow this decree to slow or hinder him as he was worshiping the Lord. He continued to pray and do everything just like he had always done. Not wanting to do anything against the king, but Daniel had a different king to pray to. And he wasn't going to let that stop him. He was going to continue to pray. Do you suppose he might have prayed to the Lord, "Lord, I know what's coming. Take care of me. Please take care of me." It says, "Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions?" The king answered and said, "This thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not." Then answered they and said before the king, "Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition 3 times a day. So the king now sees the end result of not giving a lot of forethought to signing a decree, to putting this out. He is starting to realize that there's been some backdoor dealing done. The politics have started. I think about this, and these people were not godly people, or at least if they were godly people, they weren't acting godly, any of them that were involved in this conspiracy. We sometimes will have people do things to us that we feel like we've been wronged. And, you know, the first thing you want to do is lash out or say something you shouldn't say. You want to make a comment to them you shouldn't make. But the Lord promises us he takes care of his people. And we see here as we look through this, he had a plan all along. He knew what was going to happen. He knew how this was going to unfold, and he was going to use it to his benefit. And he was able to use it to his benefit because his servant did what he was supposed to. What if Daniel just acted crazy? What if Daniel got his sword out and went through trying to stab all these people that had done him dirty? Well, things wouldn't have worked out for the Lord. The Lord had a plan, and Daniel played his role. Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself. He was so unhappy that he had done this, and he knows now about the trickery, and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. He was thinking of everything he could. What can I do to help Daniel? Now, one thing I can't understand, he's the king and he's in control of everything. Wherever the meat was being held, he should have took every bite of meat they had and thrown it into them lions. But the Lord had another plan. So I'm glad he didn't do that, because then they would have said, "Well, they just wasn't hungry." No, that isn't how it worked out. But I was thinking, if he wanted to help Daniel, that would have been a good way. Feed all them lions good. But it says, "Then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, Know, O king, that the law of the Medes and Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king established can be changed. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, Thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee." Now this king, this was not a saved man. I mean, at least there's not been anything up to this point to indicate that. But he has some faith that if Daniel has the faith, that the king's going to deliver him. Now he's still worried sick about it, because he likes Daniel. He did not want anything to happen to him. But he makes the comment that's really, I think, a great comment. Thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. Now let's stop here for a minute and let's think about Daniel. You think Daniel was a little worried? You know, we know that Daniel put the faith in the Lord, that the Lord would do what he knew he needed to do. Sometimes when we pray, like I mentioned a while ago, and we ask the Lord to do something for us or to help us get out of a jam, a situation, whatever's going on, We know he can do it. We know he'll have a way to do it. It's just how it's going to happen. And that's always the scary part. How is it going to happen? And I can't help but think Daniel had in his mind all that time, Lord, how are you going to work this out? 17 says, and a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. The king was worried. The king knew this had to happen. He knew he could not go soft. He knew that when a law had been passed, it had to be done. But he's worrying about it all night. Well, the night passes. Verse 19 says, the king arose very early in the morning, went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions? Now he's hoping on hope to hear Daniel's voice. But in the back of his mind, he's got to know there's a possibility. I mean, you know, based on his situation, there's a possibility he may not respond back. Verse 22 says, my God hath sent his angel and hath shut the lions' mouths. You know, I've seen pictures of this. You know, this is a child's story that we've all heard. You know, I've heard it all through my childhood. We've been taught it. Everybody's heard it. And the pictures always show three or four lions. We're going to read something here in a minute. We're going to come to a realization there was a lot more than three or four lions. There was a bunch of lions. So it wasn't a matter of a couple of three of them having an upset stomach or not being hungry. There was a bunch of lions there that would have eaten him in an instant. But the Lord shut their mouths. That they have not hurt. Okay, he says he shut the lions' mouths. That they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. He says, king, I've done nothing to bring hurt to you. And the Lord found innocency in me. You know, to translate this into Muldrow terms, I've been trying to live the life that he wants me to. Amen. I had faith, and he took care of me. Let's see, verse 23. Then was the king exceeding glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. Now comes the part, politics. Now this happens in politics in the United States today. Politicians do things that sometimes backfires on them. And politics can be pretty biting themselves. I mean, the politicians. This all was known. And you know what? We think about ourselves and how we live and how it affects us in our walk with the Lord, but how we live affects our family. Amen. And a person who brings their family to the Lord, a leader of a family that is bringing their children to the Lord, trying to teach them in the Lord's way, presents to them the opportunity for a life that's good. Now, I'd like to throw that in there. Sometimes, you know, people will say, well, I brought my child to church all the time and did the best I could, and they went out and made a decision that was bad and they got away from the Lord. That there is no guarantee in life that people are not going to sin. But you can have a guarantee in life that they're not going to do right if you don't teach them to do right. And we see a great backwards look at that in the next verse. And the king commanded and brought these men which had accused Daniel and cast them into the den of lions. Not only them, their children and their wives. Whew, boy, this is bad. You know, I mean, you think about things you do in life that is going to affect your family. You don't want to affect your family negative. You want to do good things for your family, and you don't want your wife griping about something you did. You know, vice versa. You try to do things that don't bring the griping on or the upsetness. Well, what do you think these wives are saying on the way to the pit? Look what you've done to me. Oh, you're not much of a husband. Well, so they cast their children and their wives, and the lions had the mastery of them and break all their bones in pieces, or ever they came at the bottom of the den. Now, this is a lot of people. I mean, this is a lot of people. It would take some lions to do this. I mean, you're not getting around a couple, three. There's a bunch of lions. And these men paid a big time price for what they did to Daniel. And we can have faith. Not that we should ever sit around and think bad of our enemies. You know, and we're not supposed to have enemies, but there are people who just flat will not like you. There are people who will do you wrong and will do bad things to you for various reasons. And we don't get to have the vengeance. But the Lord sees when His people are being mistreated. And we have to have faith in Him that He will take care of it. Did He take care of it here? He could have ended it with closing the lions' mouths. You know, the Bible was not written haphazardly. We are told this for a reason. We are told about them being eaten because the Lord wants us to know that somewhere down the road, the people that mistreat us don't get away with it. Amen. And we need to be the kind of people He tells us to be. When you're meek, you don't get to go do the things that in the back of your mind you kind of want to do when someone mistreats you. Meekness, which, can you see meekness in Daniel? Very meek. 25 says, then King Darius wrote unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, and said, peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for He is the living God. A king, a non-Jew, someone who has seen Jesus act, see God act through Daniel in saving Daniel, and he has been impressed by it. It is impressed upon him that God, the God of Daniel, is something special. And so he's telling all these people, says he writes it to everybody, for He is the living God, steadfast forever, and His kingdom that which shall not be destroyed, and His dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivereth and rescueth, and He worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth. Who hath delivered Daniel from the power of lions? So he recognized all these things that the Lord did. He recognized why Daniel was serving Him. He saw the wisdom in Daniel multiplied through his worship of the Lord. And this king saw great things. So this Daniel, in a place he did not want to be, in a job that had been thrust upon him, in a situation that most of us would say, how would you like to be living somewhere besides the United States? What if someone, some other country came and plucked us all up and took us somewhere? Would you be happy? Would you be happy sitting in the desert in Saudi Arabia? No. he's in a place that he doesn't want to be, serving the Lord anyway in the way he ought to do it. And it says he, there's a little word there in verse 28. Look at it with me. So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian, with these people that were not Jews, that were not like him, he prospered. Sometimes we don't understand why the Lord puts us in a situation, but he's got a way for us to prosper. Amen. If we'll hang on and be his God. One of the reasons we don't prosper is because we're not living like Daniel. You know, we get out here and we live a life that's a little bit the Lord and a little bit us. A little bit the Lord, a little bit something else. We don't prosper. But you prosper when the Lord is your end goal. And you're trying your best to do. And Daniel was not a perfect man, but he was a great man. Amen. And we have a verse of invitation. And if there's anybody that'd like to come pray or anything, we always want to give you that opportunity.